A Night in a Lion's Den, Chapter 119. Babylon has been conquered. This mighty, strong city has fallen. Whoever would have thought that would happen? It wouldn't have happened so soon if the watchers had remained at their posts. However, not the people, but God reigns and governs all things. We can see that again in this case. The mini Tikal Upharsin has been fulfilled. This has been told to you in the previous chapter. At this time, a new king is reigning over the extensive kingdom of Babylon. His name is Darius, and he has been appointed by the Persian monarch to rule as king over the Babylonian Empire, which has just been conquered. This Darius was a sensible man. He realized very well that he could not reign alone over this extensive kingdom. Therefore, he divided his kingdom into 120 provinces. He appointed a governor over every province to rule that territory in his name. Darius appointed 3 presidents over these 120 governors. These presidents had to be sure these governors did not deceive the king. These presidents had to observe all their actions, see in that they governed well, and whether they did it honestly. One of these 3 presidents was chief. He was Daniel. Oh, how did that happen? Why did Darius choose him above the others? In that terrible night, when Daniel had been called upon to come to that ungodly feast of Belshazzar to read and explain the mysterious writing, the people had clothed him with a scarlet robe and had hung a gold chain about his neck. They had shouted loudly that Daniel would be the 3rd ruler. Ah, but that did not happen. That same night, Belshazzar was slain and his kingdom collapsed. We do not know where Daniel was while the Persian soldiers were forcing their way into the royal palace, but we know he wasn't killed. God watched over his servant so that he did not perish in this bloody night. Darius soon heard of Daniel. Probably he had sent for him to come so they could talk together. Whatever it may have been, Daniel was appointed by Darius to be the chief of the presidents, which was a great honor to him. Now he became a ruler, not the 3rd, but in all likelihood the 2nd. At this time, Daniel was an old man. He received a difficult and a responsible position. Oh, he could not perform this great work in his own strength, but daily he prayed to God for wisdom and strength. Daniel did his very best, even to such an extent that Darius was exceedingly pleased with him. Yes, the king wanted to set him over the entire kingdom. He could use such a man. Daniel was diligent and very sensible. Besides, he was honest and faithful. Darius took particular notice of this. He honored Daniel by trusting him with everything, knowing that Daniel would not deceive him. He could leave everything with Daniel, for he knew it was in good hands. One day, King Darius sits in his beautiful palace. Probably he is thinking about the government of his kingdom. Suddenly, visitors come to him. The presidents and governors ask permission to speak with him. They soon stand before their mighty monarch and make a deep bow before him. Darius is surprised. Oh, what do they want of him? What is the purpose of their coming? He needn't wait long, for the governors tell him for what reason they have come. Let us also listen to what they say. O King Darius, live forever. This is how they begin. By that they mean, we hope you will reign over us for many, many years. It seems as though they have great respect for Darius. Afterward, they continue with flattering voices, King, we have come to ask if you kindly will grant us something. We hope you will grant us our request. You are an understanding king, therefore we want to honor you. We are very thankful to you for everything you have done for us. Therefore, let a law be made that no one may ask anything of any god or person for 30 days except of you. If there should be someone who would venture to pray to any god but you, let him be punished severely by being cast into the den of lions. Now you must know that the Persian kings had a very large den or pit. Many lions were kept in this den. Criminals were thrown into this lion's den, and of course immediately torn to pieces by these wild beasts. In this way they died a cruel death. Now this punishment must be inflicted on every one who would transgress this new law. All the governors wait anxiously for the answer. Will the king give his consent to have this law made? They hope so. Why? Darius, the king, looks up in surprise. Oh, he did not know they thought so much of him. He never expected it. This friendly request takes him somewhat by surprise. He doesn't notice that a false grin lies upon the lips of all the governors. He doesn't see the malicious look in their eyes. He gives it some thought. Honestly speaking, he thinks this idea quite nice. He, the king, will be honored as a god for 30 days. Good, he answers. I will sign such a law. I will grant your request. It was the custom in Persia that when the king once signed a law, no change ever could be made in it. Any law which was made by the Medes and Persians cannot be altered or revoked. Soon thereafter, Darius signs his name. Shortly, this law will be made known throughout the land. With a bow, the governors leave the royal palace. But when they come outside, they wring their hands with pleasure. Now, and they say laughingly to each other, that has been successful. Now we will get rid of that annoying, troublesome person. Fine. Each one goes cheerfully and buoyantly to his home or place where he is sojourning for the present. Perhaps you do not understand this at all. What has been successful? Who did I mean by that troublesome person? You must listen very attentively. I will try to make it easy for you to understand. The governors have deceived the king. Deceived him? Didn't they mean what they had said to him? Of course not. All those nice words were but lies and deceit. Their object was not to honor Darius, but their aim was to cause the destruction of Daniel. They disliked Daniel. Yes, worse, they hated him. Why? Wasn't Daniel upright and honest toward them? Oh yes, that he was. Daniel was far too honest to their liking. In those days it often happened that the governors and the rulers deceived their king. Many of them became rich by stealing. Many were thieves and cheaters. Many permitted themselves to be bribed by the rich, and the poor were oppressed. But since Daniel had become their chief, They could not do this. Daniel would know of it immediately. They didn't dare do anything deceitful, for they knew right well that Daniel would report them to the king, which could cost them their lives. Therefore, they did not like Daniel. Oh, could they but find something evil, something nasty to tell about Daniel, if they only could accuse him of something before the king. They lay wait for days, for weeks, for months, trying to find something wrong in Daniel. They fervently hoped he would make one serious mistake in this work. But they were not successful. In all that time, they could find nothing. No, not one thing. Together, they schemed a wicked and ugly plan. They said to each other, "We cannot find anything in his work, so let us not look further in that direction. Do you know what we ought to do? We must strike at him through his religion. That is our only hope." They knew Daniel prayed to God 3 times a day. He never failed praying once. He always found time to pray. Can that also be said of you, boys and girls? Do you too pray to the Lord every night when you go to bed and every morning when you arise? Or don't you have the time? Alas, many children live like heathens. At night, well, yes, most of you will quickly rattle off your short prayer, some probably on your bed under the covers. But do you bend your knees before the God of heaven and earth before you leave your bedroom in the morning? Thousands of children never do that. And why not? Didn't the Lord spare you through the night? He watched over you while you were sleeping peacefully. Isn't the Lord worthy of being thanked when you again awake in the morning, healthy and refreshed? And this also must be considered. Don't you have need of the protecting hand of the Lord during the day which has just begun? Don't you have need of the help of the Lord with the work which you must perform? Or do you imagine you can do it in your own strength? Give this your serious consideration. I would advise you, begin to pray and never, no, never forget it, not even for one time. Daniel also prayed regularly. He never forgot it. Yes, he also did it again at noonday. Thus, he prayed 3 times daily. The governors and princes knew this. That is why they had gone to the king and had asked him if he would sign that law. They knew that Daniel would not stop praying to God. And it succeeded. Darius signed the law. Oh, they could sing for joy. Already in their imagination, they see Daniel in the lion's den. Darius did not realize this. If he had known what their object was, he would never, no, never have signed this law, for he liked Daniel. O king, you ought to know how you have been deceived. Shh, be quiet, and do not make any noise. Here he comes, but he must not know we are here. This is how the governors warn each other. Motionless, they sit together. Their hearts pound with exciting joy. Yes, devilish joy. Finally, an old man approaches calmly. His face is wrinkled. His hair is gray. At this time, a grave expression lies upon his face, although kindness appears therein. He opens the door and enters his home. This man is Daniel. He has no idea that many eyes full of hatred and envy are staring at him. Daniel comes home from his work. He too has heard what has taken place. Undoubtedly, he has read the new law. Then he quietly shook his head. No, that law he cannot and may not obey. In his home is a large room with open windows. These windows open in the direction of Jerusalem. And these windows open in the direction of Jerusalem. He prays in this room. It is his inner chamber where he prays three times daily. Now, too, he kneels at these open windows and prays to his God. Oh, without the help of the Lord, Daniel cannot perform the many and difficult tasks as they should be done. He prays for strength and wisdom. He also prays for his poor fellow countrymen who still live in exile. The governors and princes hear him pray and supplicate to his God. Would you do it too? Daniel is faithful. And you? Ah, yes. It isn't so hard to pray at home, at the table. There you are not ridiculed. Of course not, for everyone does it. But if you are sitting in the train and the coach is full of people, do you pray when you are ready to eat a sandwich? Many dare not do so. Many are afraid they will be laughed at. Many are ashamed to pray at such times, so they do not do it. Isn't that a shame? Are you also ashamed to ask for a blessing upon your food when everyone can see you do it? Yes? Poor boys, poor girls, soon at death you will have remorse because you have acted in this way, but then it will be too late. You should never be ashamed to pray. It is a false shame. Just look at Daniel. He isn't ashamed, and he not only will be scornfully laughed at, but it will cost him his life. Still, he prays to his God, which proves Daniel fears the Lord uprightly. As soon as the governors see and hear that Daniel did not obey the command of the king, they hasten to King Darius. Triumphantly their voices ring out, "King, didn't you sign a law that no one was to ask anything for 30 days of any god or man but of you only?" "Yes," the king says, somewhat bewildered about their gladness. "Yes, that is true. But why do you ask it that way? Is there someone who has been disobedient?" "Well, king," their voices ring out victoriously, "Daniel, one of the captivity, has bowed his knees before his God. He has transgressed your law. He prays 3 times every day." Their faces beam with gladness, their eyes sparkle with joy, their voices tremble with excitement. Upon hearing this, Darius frightens exceedingly and turns pale. He didn't think of this before. Oh, at once everything is plain to him. He immediately sees through the treacherous plan of his governors. Their purpose was not to honor him, but it was to catch Daniel in the trap. Daniel must be put out of the way. How ignorant of him for not thinking of Daniel. Oh, he wrings his hands with remorse because of his thoughtlessness. Of course Daniel would refuse to obey the command. King Darius knew that very well. The sight of the beaming faces of his governors irks him. He doesn't give in to them so easily. No, he does everything possible to deliver Daniel, his faithful servant, from that horrible death. The Bible tells us King Darius was busy until the evening to deliver him. He labored until the going down of the sun. He couldn't come to the task of casting the guiltless Daniel into the den. Neither would Daniel's enemies give in. They would never have a second opportunity like this again. What? Would they let Daniel live? They won't think of it. They are too glad he will finally, yes, finally die. Full of expectation, they go to the king and say, "Remember, king, this law cannot be changed. It is signed, and it remains signed." Darius realizes all his efforts to deliver Daniel are in vain. He can feel the hatred which these men have against Daniel, and he also can understand it. Oh, if only he knew a way out, but there is none, and, against his will, he gave a command to fetch Daniel. They do it with haste, yes, with joy. He comes, surrounded by the governors, who know no pity. Darius looks powerlessly at all this. He cannot do anything to stop it. With a soft voice, he says to Daniel, "Your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you." Daniel is picked up and cast among the hungry lions. A large stone is laid before the opening of the den. The king seals this stone, which means no one may open the den. Whoever would attempt to break that seal would be punished severely. With bowed head, the king returns to his palace. The governors also go away with happy, cheerful faces. Their crafty plan has been successful. They wring their hands with joy. It becomes quiet and calm in the vicinity of the lion's den. Darkness quickly falls, and night comes. The following morning, someone is walking rapidly to the den of lions. It is still very early. The fields are wet with dew, but this man sees nothing of the beauty of nature. A tired and sad expression lies upon his face. This solitary man is Darius, the king. He has had a bad night. The evening before, he had returned to his palace with dragging footsteps. That was after Daniel had been cast into the den. He did not eat. He could not eat. Other nights, music was played and joy and gladness prevailed in the royal palace. But that night, there was no music. The king forbade all mirth. How could he be merry while his heart wept? Gloomily, he sat staring into space. A strange, unusual quietness prevailed around him. Finally, he went to bed, but could not sleep. He lay twisting and turning while his thoughts were with Daniel. Oh, he would never, no, never get another servant like he was. All the other governors and princes were deceivers and hypocrites. He saw that with this event. Really, he could trust no one. No, not one. And the most bitter thing was the accusing voice within. It was actually his fault, for he had signed that fatal law. He never should have done it, if he had only realized what the real purpose of this law was. Too late. And that can never, no, never be rectified. The sweat breaks from him. Slowly the hours pass. That night is a long night for him. Sometimes another thought comes to his mind. Would the God of Daniel be able to deliver him? He has heard a great deal of that God. No doubt, the story of the three young men in the fiery furnace was known to him. But, he hardly dares hope, for if it should not be true, and he would begin to depend upon it more or less, his disappointment would be that much greater. And still, he cannot get rid of that nice thought. This God of Daniel already has performed so many miracles. Undoubtedly, at one time or another, Daniel has spoken with the king about Israel's God. The king longed for the coming of the morning. At the same time, he is somewhat afraid of it, for his plans are to go in the early morning to the den of lions. He wants to know the certainty of Daniel's fate. When dawn finally came, the king no longer could remain in his bed. He arose, dressed himself quickly, and hastens with an anxious, pounding heart to the place where the night before Daniel was cast amid the lions. Will he? The king stands at the den and listens. No. He doesn't hear a sound. It is so quiet and calm all around him. At last he cries with a trembling voice, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Behold, the king stands slightly bent over, and in suspense he listens sharply. He even holds his breath for a moment. Suddenly, a cheerful voice rings out, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths. These animals could not hurt me, for the Lord knows I am guiltless. I have done no wrong against you, king. The king scarcely hears these last words. He hastily returns to his palace and quickly gives a few commands. He then quickly returns to the den, followed by his servants. With a jerk and in nervous haste, Darius breaks the seal. He commands his servants to pull Daniel out of the den. But, was that allowed? A decree of the Medes and Persians was not to be broken, was it? Thus Darius was not supposed to do this, was he? Well, why not? Didn't Daniel remain in this dark den the entire night? Was there anything recorded in this law concerning the length of the time Daniel was to remain in the den? The stone is tossed aside, and carefully they pull Daniel to the top. Soon he stands upon the ground. The God-fearing Daniel had, amid these wild beasts, a far more peaceful night than his king. Daniel had spent the hours of the night in the company of a heavenly messenger. Quietly the lions had lain around him. This had not been a bad night for Daniel. Oh no, heavenly joy and gladness filled his soul. He hadn't longed for the morning. For him it could have lasted hours longer. Nothing is too wonderful for the Lord, is it? We can see that here. Now the faithful servant stands unharmed before his king. Darius, with great emotion, grabs Daniel by the hand and squeezes it firmly. It is as if a heavy burden has fallen from his shoulders. Oh, Daniel is not dead. He is alive. Is it surprising that the king is glad? We read in the Bible that he was exceedingly glad. His eyes beamed with joy. The king braces himself to his full length and commands sternly, "Go and get the governors with their wives and children." They come. They are anxious to know what the king wants of them. When they arrive at the den, they frighten exceedingly, for there stands their enemy, Daniel, unhurt and safe next to the king. They turn pale. "Now cast them in," the command of Darius rings out furiously. To resist is useless. They stare into the pit with the terror of death in their eyes. They are taken and thrown mercilessly into the depth of the den. God does not send his angel now. The hungry lions stand waiting with yelping open mouths. The roar of the lions is heard far in the distance. The first one goes down. Then a grumble, a growl, a snarl, and a yelp. Bones crack. Children, I will not tell you more. You can understand what is taking place in the depth of this den, can't you? Only let me say this. Before they come to the bottom, the lions had them in their grasp. All of them, without an exception, disappeared one by one into the depth of the den. The pit is closed, but this time not sealed. It is not necessary. Darius and Daniel now return to the palace. What passed through the hearts of these two men, we do not know, but it has made a deep impression upon Darius, for soon after a new law appears, signed by the king. But in this law, something altogether different is written. Listen to it. "I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions." So the king gave this command to every one of his subjects, small and great, rich and poor, that they should honor and fear the God of Daniel, because he had saved Daniel from this terrible death. And now, you surely would like to know how Daniel fared, wouldn't you? I am not able to tell you much more about him. We read in the Bible that he prospered in the reign of Darius and of Cyrus, another king of the Persians. Daniel was also a prophet. The Lord showed him many things. He had wonderful dreams and visions, which are too difficult for you to understand. By faith, he also spoke about the coming of Israel's great king, the Lord Jesus. By faith, he, as it were, saw him. Daniel also lived to see his people return to their own country and to Jerusalem. He remained in Babylon, where he died at a great age. He experienced many things throughout his long, long life. But in the midst of the greatest dangers, the Lord never left his servant stand alone. Finally, the Lord took him home. By that I mean the Lord took him to himself into eternal glory. Calmly and peacefully the old man died, and with a smile upon his friendly face. You also would like to die that way, wouldn't you? Then you too must learn what Daniel had learned, which is that your sins are forgiven in and by the blood of the Lord Jesus. Ask for that often. Persevere therein day and night, and may the Lord give that your end also may be peace.